SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Football Full Circle on a wonderful Wednesday. Scott Wetz alongside George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens today as we talk football over the next 58 minutes or so. Steelers drop the ball on Fields. Bears come out of hibernation. NFL goes into hibernation. Bush League move by the Heisman Trophy folks. We won, Dak, says Jerry. And Belichick sells out. Wow. How about that? We'll get to all those stories. Check out all the lines. See if we have any updated moves. And basically just to have some fun over the next hour or so. What's going on, George? How are you today, bud?
Oh, with the calm before the storm, right, Scotty? The calm before the storm. We got 32 hours till the draft starts here. We find out who's going where, who is lying, who is telling the truth. So I'm doing well. You know, like I said, calm before the storm.
Yeah, I at this point for me, just get it done. Like I said before, I am so sick of, you know, hearing going on websites and then hearing, okay, the Chicago Bears have taken Joe Schmo. I'm like, why? Did I miss the draft? And you know, then I realize it's one of 1,000 mock drafts that these guys all have. You know, it's funny. It's just like the NCAA tournament. It really is. All these so-called experts, they all come up with 50 zillion different mock drafts. This way, that they're bound to have at least one that's semi-right, and they can say, oh yeah, that was my latest one. Oh yeah, about 30 seconds before they handed in the draft choice, then all of a sudden you updated your mock draft. What a bunch of frauds. These people, I tell you, God bless them, they can make a living out of just total BS, which is I guess what we do too. So anyway, I'm ready for the draft. Let's get it done with.
Yeah, I like the draft. It's fun. It'll be a good time. Tomorrow night's gonna be a great sports night. In the draft, you got baseball, hockey, basketball. I mean, wow, it'll be a fantastic night of sports going on here. So we'll see. We'll see who we think screwed up, who we think got it right here. We hear what the Raiders trying to trade up with the Patriots now. The Patriots said, the Commanders said no. Will the Patriots move out of three? Chargers, what are they gonna do at five? I think someone needs in bro now. Maybe the Chargers could move Justin Herbert. I'm like, oh my God, that's not going to happen. At least I don't think.
No,
but that would be pretty wild too.
Yeah, man, they will sell anything to get some hits. You know, just wow, really, is that possible? I mean, sure, anything's possible, but is that realistically going to happen? I'm going to be curious, George, to see what the ratings are. I'm generally a big ratings guy, although big might be a strong word, but I am curious to see. NBA has some pretty good playoff games, right? All right, Orlando, Cleveland at 7 o'clock, no big deal. But you got 7:30 Knicks and 76ers. That's huge. 10 o'clock, you know, the draft's going to be well into it. But still, you know, you got Lakers, LeBron at home against Denver Nuggets. So you got two pretty good games there. NHL tomorrow has Tampa Bay in Florida. You know, okay. And Carolina and the Islanders, you know, okay. Not, you know, great for you, but not so much of an attraction from the NHL standpoint to pull viewers away. But certainly the NBA, then full slate of baseball. Well, actually, you know what? I haven't checked baseball. I just assume, but Thursdays can be getaway day games. Thursday night,
I heard the Yankees are on.
You know what? That's it. That's the only game, Thursday night. Everything else is 4 o'clock or earlier, East Coast time. So baseball's clean as slate.
So baseball and hockey may have gotten smart, by the way. Baseball avoided it, and hockey didn't have any of their marquee games going on. Not to say I'm the Islander fan, but Islanders Canes is not a marquee game. And even though Florida and Tampa really is, it's not. It's not a big draw game. So, right. Hey, let's hand it to the NHL. Usually they screw this up. They would put the Rangers on every original 16 they could find, you know, right. When they shouldn't. But maybe this time they woke up.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to see. You know, it's just going to show how powerful the NFL is, right? If the average rating is like a 7, 8, 9 for an NBA playoff game, the average, you know, the Super Bowl gets into the 40s and 50s now. We're not going to get that. The really, really good games NFL get into the mid-20s. I bet NFL draft, you're going to get this like it's a big-time football game, mid-20s. It'll three times as many people, I'm guessing, will view the NFL draft, and it's on two channels, the Four Letter Network and NFL Network, than they will the NBA and NHL and baseball games.
I would probably agree. Right? I mean, the NFL designs to be a big-time event, and they've got it. Prime time, first round, you know, especially when your teams are coming up. You know, so, the 8-9, when we get all the first raw, you know, top quarterbacks go will be big. And if you can time it right, I think that 11-12-13, you know, quarterback row to see what Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders do. Do they trade up, which I guess they would have already done by now, or, you know, the Penix, the Bo Nix, you know, what happens during that time, trading up, trading down. That'd be the fun time of the draft here. As for me, a Cowboy fan, they got 24. They're not drafted to somewhere around 10:30, 11. But hey, Jerry Jones is all in on the draft, so woo-hoo, saved.
Yes. Did you hear his comments yesterday? He said basically they're all in on Dak Prescott. And, you know, it's just taken time to sign Dak and the CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. And they made it seem actually like the Cowboys are ready to sign them, but them and their agents are smart because there's so many other quarterbacks and linebackers and wide receivers, and they're all seemingly waiting for you to go in. And then once you go in, we know we're going to be able to take that number and go higher because that's just how life is, crazy as it sounds, in the NFL. So, but he made it, Jordan. You're the big Cowboys fan. You know, quote unquote, we want Dak, said Jerry yesterday at the press conference. What do you make of that?
You know, Airplane is one of my favorite movies, Scott, with Leslie Nielsen. Okay. And the part in the where he's, you know, the plane's having all sorts of problems, and he, Leslie Nielsen, his character, is in the plane, and he's talking to the passengers. He goes, there's no reason to be nervous. You know, and they're carrying away the pilot, the co-pilot, you know, stewardess, the navigator, and there's no reason to be nervous. We're okay here. We're going to land. You know, his nose keeps growing. That's what I was watching during the Jerry Jones press conference. His nose is growing because he's lying to us, flat out lying to us over and over again. You know, he actually used the term all in again yesterday.
Yeah.
We were all in on free. Well, what do you mean? You signed nobody. Nobody, zero, zilch, not a nil. Nobody. But you're all in. You know, you want Dak, but you're having no negotiations. I know you're going to re-sign CD and Mike. I know that. The Dak thing is weird. You know, it's just strange. Why haven't you gotten this done? It's not all because of the agents, by the way, or else no one ever gets signed. So what?
Right.
CD Lamb's never signing. Jefferson's never signing. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Someone has to sign here. You're not offering enough. Is really what it comes down to. Dak is lying too. I don't need to be the number one paid quarterback. That's probably BS as well. Now, everyone's lying here. At least the Dak deal should have gotten done because it hamstrung you now where you got nothing else done here. Telling you folks, take the Cowboys under 10.5 wins. This is going to be not a good team this season. The open air, it's 10.5. Cowboys have lost, what, 5-7 starters. They're not going to replace them all in the draft. And even if you do, these guys are rookies. They're going to make mistakes. And by the way, the Cowboys draft last year, 0-for, big donut. None of them hit. So if the Cowboys think they're going to solve all their problems with a draft, get two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, two linebackers, a running back, yeah, you might get two of those. Three, if everything goes well here. This is going to be a disaster season for the Cowboys. McCarthy has set up to fail. He's going to be gone. I guess that's the good news.
Yeah, it's really weird because, listen, I get the CeeDee Lamb because there's a number of wide receivers out there. And Michael Parsons, maybe the same thing. But there aren't any quarterbacks. You know, there are quarterbacks entering their fourth year, and teams have to decide, the Trevor Lawrences of the world to pick up their fifth year, which they will do. But there's not any pending quarterback free agent that, okay, I'm going to wait on Dak because, Kansas City's got to sign Pat Mahomes or, you know, pick a big-time quarterback's got to re-sign. You know, Jordan Love might be the only one. But why would you, wait when you don't necessarily have to wait? We want to see – we'd quote from Jerry Jones, we'd like to see more leaves fall. We'd like to see more action. It's called option quarterback. I spent my life playing option quarterback. I want to see some more cards played. What does that mean?
I wonder if he's waiting for a quarterback to fall in the draft.
That's what it seems, right? Football full circle, just getting underway. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle, 14 past the hour. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz in for Ben Stevens on this Wednesday. So talk a little Dallas Cowboys. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers, George? You know, we touched on this a little bit yesterday, you know, making the trade for Justin Fields. And we said they had a decision to make about picking up the fifth-year option on Fields' contract, which they have to do. I think it's May 2nd. First week of May for sure. I think it's May 2nd. But, they, you know, so they have a little while, a couple of weeks here. But reports today say the Steelers have decided that they will not pick up the fifth-year option, which is, you know, right around $25 million for him, considering where he was drafted. I mean, I can see both sides of this. I really can. Who wants to be locked into a guy that really isn't your quarterback for $25 million? Would you be able to trade him? Probably not, since the Bears were basically giving him away, nobody was locked into a $25 million price tag. So they probably would be stuck with that, but I don't know. I go back to what I said yesterday, Drew. Why acquire him then? You know, it's just you're creating a problem. Yes, is it nice to have a safety valve for this upcoming season? I suppose. But if he does play like some people think he will, and he does well, and I think he will. I think that Bears offense, you could have Pat Mahomes with that Chicago Bears team, and he wouldn't be successful. I'm not a Fields guy, but I would pick up the fifth-year option, just like I wasn't a Danny Nichols guy, and I would have picked up the fifth-year option with him when the Giants dropped the ball.
Oh, boy. I think you're probably right on all sides here. I mean, listen, they acquired Justin Fields because the price was right. Right, that's why they acquired Justin Fields. And I also think this is the ghost of having, you know, the quarterback room they had in the past, right? Pickens, you know, terrible. You know, Pickett wasn't good. Yeah, I think they wanted a deeper room. Also, hey, we got Russell Wilson for free. What, Fields? Oh, we're getting, you know what? So I think they sort of got a gluttony here because they could here. Now they know they're going to have a decent quarterback room, right? I think Russell Wilson will be. Russell Wilson wasn't bad last year. He wasn't. He wasn't good, but he wasn't bad. He was an average quarterback. Justin Fields, okay. I agree with you about the offense there. So now they have, you know, two quarterbacks here. My only question was, and I brought this up yesterday, you have to design your offense around Fields. That makes it tough. If Russell Wilson gets hurt, you know, Fields is not just going to come in and run that same offense. He's a different kind of quarterback. So I think he needs to be in that kind of offense there. I think you need to design your offense around Fields. Where Fields has to be a starting quarterback, and you design your offense around him. That's just my thoughts there. So I don't blame them for why you say it now is beyond me. Why would you say it now? You don't say it now that you're not going to pick it up. Maybe you're not going to do it. Maybe you know you're not going to do it, but fine. You got him for a gift. He's your backup quarterback this year. You go. You'll see what happens after that. But you don't say it now. Maybe Russell Wilson does spit the bit, right? And he's terrible this year. And he can't. He's just not good with your offense here. Well, don't you want to maybe think about it? Then you're going to keep Fields if he plays, you know, four or five games this year and does well for you? So I don't know why you would say that now, Scott. That's the only part I find strange about this. But I don't blame them for not wanting to pick up the 22-plus million because he's not expected to play this year.
You know, it's weird that they painted themselves in a corner, Jordan. That they really have put themselves in a corner of, like, because Russell Wilson, as we pointed out yesterday, great deal for him as well. Got him for nothing. They're paying him nothing, right? Denver's on the hook for basically his entire salary. But he's only on a one-year deal. So if he does well, then what do you do next season? If he does lousy and Justin Fields comes in and he does well, then what do you do with him next season? I mean, you're looking at, you know, having to pay the price tag for a good quarterback, which, you know, unfortunately, thank you, New York Giants, Danny Nichols is now, you know, $40 million. You're $35 to $40 million. And I don't think you really want to do that for either one of those two guys, but, you know, you may have to because you're locked into only 1 year. It's, again, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they both stink, well, what do we accomplish? You know, nothing, threw away another year. If one or both are successful, then what do? You know, then we got to pay, you know, the current rate, which is exorbitant. So having these guys on one-year contracts, it's nice. You know, good incentive for them to really, really, really do well. But it does present a problem, especially when you have two of them. This might be like the old fashioned, you know, if there was a franchise, I guess that would do, it would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I always think of the Art Rooney, you know, Terry Bradshaw, you know, Franco Harris, Pittsburgh Steelers of the '70s. Right. I mean, in those days you'd bring in two quarterbacks or two wide receivers or two running backs and say, you know, may the best man win. You know, they're telling the world that Russell Wilson is clearly the number one right now, that they made that point again yesterday, but it is kind of being, okay, whoever really emerges at the end of the year might be our guy next year, or who knows, maybe they end up throwing everyone a wrinkle and draft a quarterback tomorrow.
Oh, boy, that would be interesting. They're at 20. And we talked about them yesterday. I don't put them out of the conversation. I don't think they will, mind you, not in the first round. Could I see them taking, you know, a developmental quarterback later on? Sure. I doubt they'll take one at 20. But I do wonder, if someone like Penix starts to fall here, you know, right. Would someone trade up for him? Would a team that we, you know, all the teams you mentioned yesterday, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, I know you brought the Rams up. Could someone like that take a shot at him? You know, yes, I think that absolutely could happen. I'd bring the Cowboys up in here as well. You know, once again, I wonder if that's what the, why they're not signing Dak right now. They want to see what happens in the draft. You know, and maybe Jerry Jones does want to start over from scratch rather than pay Dak, you know, $55 million a year. You know, you wonder that. But, I just think they've handled this bad. I never understood. As soon as they acquired Russell Wilson and Fields, Russell's the starting quarterback. Why'd you need to say that? What has Russell done over the last couple of years where you have to you know, pay deference to him? It's not like this is Aaron Rodgers when the Jets go, okay, Aaron Rodgers is your starting quarterback. He's still playing at a you know, an all-star level. You know, Wilson is not, has, I don't think he's played as badly as people think, but he's not played at anywhere near an all-star level. You didn't need to do that. Let them battle it out in training camp. To see who the starter is. So I found that weird. As I said, and doing it again yesterday, I just found that strange. I don't know why you keep needing to feel like you have to, you know, pay that kind of respect to Russell Wilson. 5-7 years ago, sure. Now, no. Let the best man win.
Okay. 26 touchdown passes, only 8 interceptions for Wilson last year. Not horrible. He wasn't horrible. Wasn't great, like you said. But if you bring him in, you know, the bringing in of Justin Fields, just as I mentioned, creates issues. Very, very strange. All right, 21 past the hour, football full circle here on The Grid continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, football full circle here on The Grid continues along with some news coming out of the a source was confirmed by the four-letter network, which means someone else probably broke it first, and they had their sources confirm. But Detroit Lions, Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz here. Detroit Lions and star receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown agreed on a 4-year contract extension, George. Big-time number. I know you had some of the numbers in his story that you're looking at. This story does not have the numbers, but what did he get? $140 million or so? Is that what you said?
$120 million, 77 guaranteed.
Wow.
Not bad.
That's what's starting to go up now, the guarantee. You know, which, you know, when you think about it, is he going to have a year where the Lions are going to cut him in the next two seasons? You know, probably not, right? I mean, injury would be the thing, but otherwise, you might as well just guarantee him. I'd guarantee more money than I would continue to give these guys more money. So $120 million for 4 years, $30 million a year. That's about the going rate now for a big-time wide receiver. So is this going to urge CeeDee Lamb to get into camp with the Cowboys, or at least at the bargaining table, do you think? And I would say both, though, you know, St. Brown and CeeDee, they're both, you know, comparable, right? You may like one maybe slightly more than the other, but now if it's me and I'm Dallas and I really want to sign CD, I'm saying, all right, there you go. Market was set. You know what? We love you. Lions love St. Brown. He got the 4 years, $120 million, 77 guaranteed. We'll do the same for you. And I wouldn't give a penny more. Not a penny more.
Well, what you would do and what's going to happen, we know are two different things. All right, so it's the most guaranteed money ever for a wide receiver by about $2 million. All right, so the next one, it's going to be around $80 million guaranteed, just the way the game is played. Whether you agree with it or not, doesn't matter. The only thing that changes this for CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys is that the Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb, they have Micah Parsons, they also have the franchise tag. It's not available for Dak, which is why they can't use it on him. It is available for one of those two. So that's the only thing working in the Cowboys' favor here. They do have that leverage. Of course, the players' leverage as well that I'm not going to report, which would be kind of silly in some ways. Franchise take is massive. You'll get a massive payday. Yeah. It's just only for 1 year, and you don't get that guaranteed money. And as you said, injury would be a concern that you don't get hurt. The franchise take is if you don't get hurt, the franchise take is the way to go, by the way. You'll make more money over your career with a franchise take over and over and over again. But that's what Dallas can use here. Whether that's the plan or not, I have no idea. I'm pretty sure it is, mind you, because all teams use it as leverage. So that's the only thing here. But if they, Land will get $79 million guaranteed. You'll get $125 million. That's just the way a stupid thing goes here. They are pretty much the same wide receiver. Whether you like Lamb more, you like St. Brown more. Personally, I'm the Cowboy fan. I like Lamb more. Now, I'm sure Detroit Lion fans like St. Brown more. They're the same guy. All right. So yeah. Is what it is. But good for St. Brown. Got it done. And as I keep saying, it just gets more expensive the longer you wait, Jerry. It's not getting cheaper. It's not. Maybe, like I said, maybe he's trying to use the franchise tag as leverage here, but and Micah still has another year before, because they can use the fifth year on him. Lamb, it's being done this year. So, like I said, Dallas is just weird. Does Jerry not have any money? What the hell is going on?
Lions got to re-sign Jared Goff now, too, after this year. And they're talking about re-signing him. So they're currently negotiating. You got to figure Goff is going to get $40 million, right? I mean, again, if Danny Nichols got 40 with the Giants, he's getting 40, 45,
he's getting
maybe
more than that.
$50 million, right? All yeah, right. $50 million.
Somewhere in between.
So now you have two guys, right? Now you have two guys, George. And I know it's not dollar for dollar, and this is why some teams that want to spend will spend, and others that won't, because they'll just say, well, we're up against the salary cap. Well, you don't have to be if you really don't want to be. But two guys that are going to make, $70 million at least, and probably $75 to $80 million of your $250 million salary cap. Two guys. I mean, it is amazing. I just don't know how that works in the locker room. There's so many guys that give their blood, sweat, and tears to football, making $1 million, $2, $3 million, and then you see these two guys making $45 and $30 million. It's just like, I don't know how there's not jealousy. I really don't. But good for Mon St. Brown and good for the Lions. They're turning things around. They're actually doing things from smart way. They locked the guy up and they didn't let him walk. So nice job by the Lions. All right, football full circle here on the grid. Scott Wilson, George Kurtz continues in a bit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football full circle here on the grid. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz sitting in for Ben Stevens today as we just run down some of the NFL news. So the breaking news, Detroit Lions do the right thing. And listen, it's the going rate. We may yell and scream and wonder how they're going to fit into the salary cap. But the bottom line is for big-time wide receivers, and he is a big-time wide receiver, 24 years old. When you think about all the bust wide receivers that came out of USC, George, it's funny. It's appropriate because, the draft obviously is tomorrow, and the Lions selected Amon St. Brown, what, in the first round, top 10 pick? No. What, 11 through 20, first round? No. But the end of the first round? No. Second round? No. Third round? No. He was drafted in the fourth round. That's why I love the draft talk. I do. It gets overwhelming at times, but I've always, and I've learned to appreciate this more as I've gotten older. It doesn't matter. It really, you have to know what you're doing. You could take Zach Wilson or Mitch Trubisky or any other stiff quarterback with the second overall pick, or you can find a home run in the fourth round like St. Brown was. if you know what you're doing. That is probably the most overrated thing that we all enjoy. You know, lose the last couple of games of the regular season. Oh, I want to be in the top five versus, you know, the seventh or eighth pick. And, oh, man, we should have lost that last game. We would be six right now. Instead, we're 12. And you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're a boob, you're a boob. You could have the second overall pick. Hell, you could have the first overall pick. You could be drafting all the Youngs of the world, like the Carolina Panthers did, Bryce Youngs, with the first overall pick. Or you could be taking Amon St. Brown in the fourth round if you know what you're doing. So we all enjoy the debate of this and that about how who's going where and whatever. But if you're a good GM, and maybe a lot of it is luck. I don't think so. I don't think a lot is luck. I really do believe it is being a good GM. You'll be successful no matter where you draft. And Brown is a great example.
I think it's a combination of both. I think a lot of drafting is educated guessing. All right.
You think?
Forget Zach Wilson, right? Because you can say, oh, that's the Jets. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe true. What about the 49ers trading all those picks to get Trey Lance? All right, that didn't work out at all. I mean, the 49ers consider, you know, quarterback guru. They know what they're doing. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so why'd that happen? Because well, it's an educated guess. It's really what it is here. Well, I want to say Brown from a GM there. Oh, come on, he wasn't waiting till round four. Oh, this guy's going to sneak through. No, I think he thought, oh, it might be the best player available at that point. Yes, but he didn't know this. If he thought he was going to be come to this fruition, that he's going to be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, he's not waiting till round four. The Patriots didn't wait till round six to grab Tom Brady because they knew what he was going to be. No. You know, it's luck, Purdy, for the 49ers. Luck. You know, it's educated guessing, best player available at the time. You know, is really what I go in for. Sometimes it works out for teams, sometimes it doesn't. So many first round. I mean, come on. Of all these quarterbacks that are going to go tomorrow, Williams, McCarthy, May, Daniels, Penix, Nix. I mean, six quarterbacks right there. My guess is one becomes a star. Two are a good, adequate, and the others are just, you know, end up being blah, you know, backups, you know, they'll hang around for a while, but end up being nothing. It's generally the way it works. And by the way, that may be overestimating it, saying one could be a star. Who the hell knows? You know, it's so hard here. And it's a shot that, you know, Spencer Rattler, who'll be taking around two, around three, ends up being the best quarterback of this draft. We've seen this over and over again. Hell, just go back to the Cowboys. They got lucky with Tony Romo, undrafted free agent, and they got lucky with Dak, fourth-round pick who they didn't want. They wanted, Paxton Lynch first, but he was drafted. They wanted somebody else, too, who I forget, but he was drafted ahead of them. You know, a lot of this is just pure luck.
Really is. It is amazing. You know, when you look back, I don't know if luck to me is the thing, because there is certain qualities that you need to look for. I do wonder, though, why it's so hard. You know, how can you make the mistakes? What did you see about this guy that made you pick him, and what didn't happen, right? And then say, all right, this is why we have to now throw this equation out. We need to be looking for these things or the, you know. There's got to be some formula. You get to basically address these guys, right? You have all these great conversations now with the combines, and you go to the team schools drills, and you're taking the guys out to dinner. You know, so it used to be for me, okay, you're going to make a mistake, but you really don't know the guy, and you give that guy that kind of money, and you know, you make a mistake, you hope. But then nowadays, like I said, you're like best buddies with these guys. They meet and talk with these guys so often. I don't know why. It's got to be difficult. It is, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have as many failures as we've had. But I don't get, George, why it is that difficult. My life is the NFL. I know how fast you have to be. I know how quick you have to be a linebacker. You know, all the combines, we have all the numbers now. I know how strong you have to be and how tall you have to be a quarterback for the most part and all the positions. I don't know. It just seems like it should be a heck of a lot easier than what it is.
I don't know if it should be easier. They should do a better job. I think some of it is, I don't want to say ignorance. That's not the right word here, but stubbornness. And what I mean by is they keep sometimes, I always wanted this, you know, a player who's supposed to be great, you know, first round pick, oh, going to be great, gets selected by Team A. Problem is he doesn't fit Team A's system. And they still selected him because there's round hole, you know, square peg, round hole. Oh, I'll get him to work well in my system. Then they wonder why it doesn't work. You know, he never amounts to anything. You know, if that player would have been selected by Team B, though, who did have a system that fits his needs, he becomes a star. I think that happens a lot, by the way. I really do that. He just got drafted by the wrong team. Maybe his team is bad at developing people. You know, we've seen that over and over again, that sort of thing. You know, wrong head coach who's not, you know, coach and his coaching staff not good at developing that position, whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, running back, whatever it might be. You know, I think that happens a bunch here. I do think coaching is important in the NFL because there is no minor league system. You know, college is really that, but that's where you're learning. There is no minor league system that can help you out. You're learning on the job is what it is. And some guys get it right away, some guys don't. I also think it's a mental part of the players. Some of them come in and can handle it right away. Some can't. You know, it's all about the money here. They're spending the money. They're not spending the time at their craft, getting better and better. I think we see that all the time as well. So I think it's a combination of both. But that's why I keep saying I think it's an educated guess. And like I said, I think there's a lot of stubbornness that goes on in the NFL. Square peg, round hole. I'm going to make him work in my system no matter what, rather than developing a player who may not be as highly touted as player A, but who would fit your system better.
Let's look, and we were meant to do this yesterday, but there were so many things going on yesterday. I did want to do this, and I purposely haven't looked, so I want to do it on the fly here. Let's go back to the last four, five, I would say six drafts, and let's see how many quarterbacks were taken in the first round or early second round that ended up panning out. All right, let's go back to, some of these may be undecided. You know, you got to give the guy, you know, a decent chance. But, oh, okay. Then we'll have a separate category, George, of would that team do the same thing? Last year, Bryce Young, number one. C.J. Stroud, number two. Only two quarterbacks in the first round. Suffice to say, Anthony Richardson, number three. Bryce Young, Carolina. We'll start there. I won't say it's a complete bust because it's only 1 year, but suffice to say, Carolina would not do that all over again.
Oh, I think that's a safe bet. Yeah, they
is
would
that
not
a fair?
That they'd probably tell you they would assumption? Though. They would lie to you right now, Scott. So, oh no, we would still take them, but no, they would not do that again.
All right, C.J. Stroud, obviously, home run there. We only got four or five games out of Anthony Richardson before he got hurt. So I would think the Colts would say, yeah, okay. You know, we would still do that all over again.
We still kind of like him.
Right? 2022 draft. First quarterback taken was Kenny Pickett, Pittsburgh Steelers, the only quarterback in the first round. Think they'd do that all over again?
Yeah.
That's a bust. That's a bust. All right, we're through 2 years. We'll go back, like I said, four or five more years and see. I bet there's not that many. I bet there's not that many home runs, believe it or not. All right, Football Full Circle continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, it's Football Full Circle here on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz talking NFL draft with the draft coming up tomorrow. Discussing the quarterback situation for these teams and just going back to recent drafts and seeing how many busts versus stars have emerged over the years in the top one and two rounds of the NFL draft. So we got one home run in the last 2 years, and that was C.J. Stroud last year. 2 years ago, that was the biggie, or really 3 years ago, that was the biggie. Talk about busts. All right, Trevor Lawrence goes number one, George. Has he lived up to all the hype? No. But he has taken Jacksonville to the second round of the playoffs, one of his 3 years in the league. So I would think, knowing all the others that were taken after him, who we'll get to here in a second, I think Jacksonville would definitely do the same thing all over again, right?
Agreed. They would do it. By the way, Anthony Richardson, the Colts, would do again as well. So that was a solid one also here. So,
But we don't know if he's any good or not.
Well, he only played a couple of games here. But I don't know if I'd call – I wouldn't call Richardson a home run, but it's a solid double right now. Lawrence is probably between a double and a triple, if we're going to use a baseball analogy.
All right. Busts Zach Wilson, suffice to say.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Lance.
Unless you're a MILF.
Yeah. Trey Lance. Yeah. Trey Lance, suffice to say, that's a bust.
Oh, yeah. He's a bust.
Who else do we have? Justin Fields. I'm saying bust. You may still think he's got a chance, but would the Bears do it all over again? Ultimately, no. Right?
Not if you like give him the 50-year deal, you're not.
Yeah. I forgot he was Mac Jones.
Jones, that's a bust.
That's a bust, right? Second round that year, Tampa Bay used a second round pick on Kyle Trask. I knew he was high because I remember talking about that when they signed Baker, saying, all right, that's a pretty good quarterback competition. Clearly, I mean, they brought in Tom Brady. They brought in every Tom, Dick, and Harry in there to make sure it's not Kyle Trask. He's a bust. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, second round pick, you do what you have to do there, but no, he's not.
Second round is pretty good,
working
though.
Out.
Right. 2020, Joey B, Joe Burrow, home run for Cincinnati, right?
I think that was good. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah. This was a pretty good draft. Tua tags for the Dolphins. Yeah, now, they did. Justin Herbert was available, but.
You picked the wrong one. But
he is successful.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a home run yet, but it's at least a double.
Yeah. Justin Herbert. Obviously, they would do that.
Yes. They would do it again.
Home run. Jordan Love, Green Bay. That was that draft. They would do that, obviously, all over again, right? All right, so that's five. How about second round? Any quarterbacks in the second round? Jalen Hurts. Well, that was a hell of a draft. That's a home run, obviously.
Yeah, we're not talking about that quarterback draft enough. That's a big-time quarterback draft.
That really is. That's like, you know, you could say the Dolphins probably got the worst of the bunch drafting with the second quarterback figures.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I can feel very good, but yeah.
Yeah. That was that. I'll tell you what. Think about that draft. You know, we'd have to really do a little research here, but as far as all-time like first round drafts. Boy, that was pretty good. Joey B, Tua Tags, Herbert, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb was in that draft. Justin Jefferson in the draft, Jordan Love, Patrick Queen, who I think is terrific. Brandon Ayuk is in that draft first round. Well, it was tough to screw up that draft. If you pick the loser in that draft, then you're really clueless. So not bad at 2020. How about the 2019 quarterbacks? Kyler Murray, first pick overall.
Yeah, they re-signed him, so they
he worked out? Yeah, I guess I'll give that a double, but he stinks. Daniel Jones?
He's not gonna. He's not the answer, but if they re-signed him, they would do it again, right?
Right. Again, double. Dwayne Haskins, obviously that didn't, sad story, didn't work out. Second round that year, any quarterbacks? Drew Lock, how'd that work out? Bust?
Not well.
And that's the only one. All right, let's go one more year back, 2018. It's not as bad as I thought, but 2018 first round, Baker Mayfield. He's not a bust, but would the Browns do that over again?
The Browns wouldn't do it again, no.
No.
But he's not a bust.
He's not a bust. Sam Darnold, obviously bust.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, home run.
That worked
out well. Rosen, that's a bust.
Huge bust.
10th overall. Wow. 10. I actually liked him coming out of college. Lamar Jackson, last pick in the first round. Man, that's a home run.
Yeah, they traded up for him. That was definitely a big time grand slam.
Did they? Yeah, they traded up for him?
They traded to get back.
I remember to talk about that trade. Yeah. And any quarterbacks in the second round? No. So it's about a 50-50 split. I thought we would find more busts. But you got in the last, 6 years or so, that's 8 home runs, about 4 doubles of, halfway decent quarterbacks, and 9 busts. So And you know, a couple that are on the fence type of Baker Mayfield type of things. So out and out like 9 busts, out and out like 8 home runs, and then a few, okay, you know, would you do it all again? Probably not, you know, with the Baker Mayfields of the world. So it's a 50-50 proposition. You're right, Drew, you said it. With the five, six quarterbacks, how many do you think 3 years from now we'll be saying, bow, you know what, good move? Two?
Maybe three? That's what I think. Yeah. Three at most. Three would be at most. Over-under is 2.5.
Yeah. Now, the good GMs know which two they are. The bad GMs don't know which two or three they are. Simple as that. All right, close up shop. One more segment to go. Football full circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. It is football full circle here on a Wednesday. Scott Wetzel and George Kurtz doing a little NFL draft as we are now a day away, and NFL draft starts 8 o'clock Eastern time, and they're pretty much right on the clock. You know, they make darn sure that you know, they start, but they also make sure that, you know what, don't use, you know, 1 minute and make your pick, Chicago Bears. Bears announcing yesterday, George, that they know who they're taking. Really? Finally? Really? It's only, you know, you've had the number one overall pick for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now, and really probably even longer than that. Carolina was so bad, you realized you were going to be in that spot, and you finally have come to the conclusion you know who you're going to take. And they were describing, you know, the Hollywood scene and everything. So it is definitely Caleb Williams, but they can't say it. I wonder if the NFL, and I'm guessing they did, they told the Bears, listen, don't. We don't want you making the announcement. We don't want anything to spoil the draft. We want just that one little percent chance for people talking about how you might not take Caleb Williams. I do believe they told the Bears, just, you know what, don't say who you're taking. Do me a favor.
Oh, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to say, for the reasons you mentioned, by the way. Goodell would have a, can't say that word.
Well, they used to try and sign these guys, or am I thinking right. NBA?
No, right? You're right. Back in the day, they used to, but now it's a huge TV event. You're not allowed to say who it is, because what they're afraid of is, okay, you're saying you're taking Caleb Williams. Well, now, you know, hey, Commander can say, okay, well, now we're taking Jane Daniels. Yeah. Oh, we're taking Drake May. And then nobody has to watch between 8 and 9 now, right? Because it's all done right here. So you're not allowed to say it. They don't want to come out, even though we all know who you're taking here. What will frustrate me more, by the way, is that when the draft starts, they're still going to take 10 minutes to make that selection. Right. My God, that's for the love of God, we know you're taking a Caleb Williams. Send the card up and let's go. Yeah. You know, that's what drives me insane, Scott. And we all know it's Caleb Williams. Don't wait till there's 2 minutes left on the clock. Can we move this thing along, please? You know, that's the only thing that makes me upset about it. I don't care that they're not allowed to announce it. Fine, whatever. It's a TV event. You said it. There'll be that one person in Montana who doesn't know what's going on. He'll be surprised that they take Caleb Williams. Fine, whatever. You know, but other than that, don't take your full amount of time. I mean, come on. Move this along. If you know who you're taking, move it along.
All right, a couple things here before we close up shop. NFL investigations into the alleged tampering by the Atlanta Falcons over the Kirk Cousins signing and Philadelphia over the Saquon Barkley signing remains ongoing and will not be concluded by today, which means any punishment, if they should find those teams guilty, will come in next year's draft, not this year's draft. I'm not sure exactly what's taken so long, George. I mean, I know the NFL is like a snail here.
Top 10 pick.
Well, they wouldn't be getting a top. Do you think they would lose a first round pick?
They took it away from Miami. Miami lost a 1-3 in the Tom Brady, Sean Payton thing. So, yeah, I think they would.
Yeah, but that was after the Brian Flores accused the Dolphins of telling him to lose games and everything. That was like piling on.
I think they don't want to take away a top 10 pick and screw a draft up. So they'll wait until next year here. I don't think the Eagles are going to lose that high. Eagles might lose a mid-round pick, but I think the Falcons are screwed. They
that's so crazy because
contact Kirk Cousins, so they're done.
They, you know what, they all do, right? I mean, they're agents. They're all agents. Are all
very
the same.
Very true. They're all cheating. It's just like baseball. You know, they're all cheating.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins' wife lives in Atlanta. I mean, it's a perfect match, you know. And Philadelphia's from basically, Saquon's from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, South Florida, whatever, South Jersey.
You have a legal tampering period. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's so goofy. Reggie Bush reinstated by the Heisman folks, so he gets his 2005 Heisman Trophy back because even though in 2005 it was illegal to give out cars and hotels and mansions, basically, which is what Pete did and what a dirty program USC was, but since it's legal now to gamble and it's legal now to pay players, they say, all right, well, forget about it. Who cares if it was 20 years ago? 2024, you're allowed to do that. So, Reggie, welcome back. How stupid is that?
Makes no sense to me.
Shoeless Joe Jackson people have to be encouraged, right? I mean, if you're going to have that approach.
He batted over 300 in that World Series. He wasn't cheating. He may have known about it. He may have taken some money, but he didn't throw the games.
Didn't throw the games. 8 men out, but came off like a bad box of rocks. And then Belichick selling out. Guy hated media. Hate, just despise the media. And what is he going to do? He's going to be part of the Manning cast almost every time next season. What a fraud.
Well, no one wants to hire him to coach. Got no choice. Needs to make a buck.
He's got to swallow his pride and, like it or not, become a media member. Bill Belichick selling out.
And he'll be great. Watch.
Good job, George. Do it again tomorrow, folks. Be good. Enjoy your Wednesday.